Welcome to the Wi-Fi Nomads podcast. I'm your host, Kate Smith, sharing with you how to successfully start working remotely while traveling the world. If you're ready to break free of the 9-to-5 grind and achieve more freedom and fulfillment in life, be sure to apply to one of our upcoming Wi-Fi Nomads programs in Bali, Indonesia. It's an immersive professional development training program showing you step-by-step how to start earning an income remotely so you can work from anywhere in the world. Spots are limited, so be sure to apply soon. You don't want to miss out. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everybody. I'm Kate Smith, the host of the Wi-Fi Nomads podcast, and I am so excited to share with you today's guest. He is from Goa, India. He's been traveling the world since 2016, hitting up over 20 countries. He's even once met the Dalai Lama. He started with just a few dollars in his pocket, and he has been able to successfully get started working online, doing SEO consulting, even working for big companies such as Founder Magazine, and now he's blogging full-time at jeremynorona.com, and I'm so excited to welcome you, Jeremy. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to share your story. It's incredibly inspiring.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me. Really excited to be a part of this podcast.
Awesome. We spoke before. We actually met in Bali originally, and I've interviewed you before, and your story was so inspiring that I had to bring you on the podcast. I'm so excited to share with everybody where you started and even where you're at now and how others can get started with, you know, getting started with working online and doing something similar. First question, where in the world are you right now?
Right now in Hanoi. I just dropped in here for about 2 weeks. Because it's one of my favorite cities in the world. So I'm in Hanoi, Vietnam.
Amazing. Right now. Amazing. Awesome. So why don't we get started with your, how you got started with working online? Because I know you came from a family of academics and your parents had these, you know, a certain vision for how your future would go, and you kind of deviated into this different lifestyle of working online and traveling. So why don't we just dive into the very beginning? I know, you know, we were just talking about how when you were in school, how you faced bullying and how you dealt with that and how you got on this journey of working online.
Yeah, well, it's actually a long story. So when I was in school, I was always the shortest. Well, I still am really short, but I was always the shortest, weak, thin kid. Mm-hmm. And then I got into fitness. I would actually say that fitness ended up being the biggest motivate, like ended up changing my life. So I got into fitness and I ended up becoming like the fitness guy. Like when I was 17, I actually ended up winning the Goa powerlifting championship. So I ended up going from being like the smallest weak person to winning the powerlifting championship and being in the like fitness world. Like my Instagram account was once upon a time like one of those fitness accounts, like full of workout videos and stuff. Okay. That doesn't exist anymore. But so fitness was like the biggest driver that changed my life. But when it came to like career and things, my family was a very like typical Indian middle-class family, which means that you have two options, right? Either become an engineer or doctor. And like literally in my family, being an accountant would have made me like the biggest black sheep for all family events, being an accountant, because it was my cousin. I think I have about 5 cousins who are engineers, one who's a lawyer, and one who's a doctor. But so literally being an accountant would make me a black sheep.
Wow.
But I realized that for me, like I just looked at it logically and I saw that engineering wasn't a path going down into. After 6 months of being in college, I dropped out and like I just spent like a month in Goa taking a lot of courses, like just a free Coursera courses, edX courses, Googling a lot, reading a lot of blogs, and just learned how to build my own blog, like a basic simple WordPress blog.
So I'm going to pause for a sec because I remember last time we spoke, there's two things that stood out to me. Yeah. I remember kind of lying to your parents about how you all got started with this. Can we touch on that for a sec?
Yeah, we can touch on that.
Okay.
So During college, before I dropped out, there were like holiday trips at the end of every semester where people went out with groups. Like they went for like a 10-day trip with groups. And I told my parents I was going to go for one of those trips. So I managed to get like $200 from them to pay for the trip. And I ended up taking that and like backpacking India on my own for about 2 weeks. I didn't know that I was doing that. Then I went back to, and that was the first time I actually ended up staying in hostels and those kinds of things. And I met like people who led, I would say, unconventional lives. And that's when I said, part of me was like, why can't I just do this? And then I went back to college after those 2 weeks. And I was just like, I got so depressed listening to everybody talking about who's dating whom or who's going up, like just the most boring conversations. Mm-hmm. And I saved up, like I basically stopped spending all the money, like my daily allowance for college. And I ended up going on another trip in February of 2016 for a week when to a city called Hampi in India, where I like learned to boulder and stuff like that and just made a lot of cool friends. Then I came back and I was like, okay, I am going to learn how to make this my life. And then I started Googling how to make money traveling, which is like, now it feels so surreal because I know a lot of the people behind the blogs, which I read at that time. Like I actually got to meet them, but I just started reading all these blogs. I saw freelancing, consulting, remote jobs, blogging, just started reading about everything I could. You should travel about 2 hours to go to my university. But after February, I just ended up spending like my entire time at university sitting in the library and Googling things, which made me realize it was just a waste of time going there.
Yeah.
So at the end of February, I dropped out. And then I decided, okay, I'm just going to spend one entire month learning and I'm going to find a way. Like I made a deadline that at the end of this month, I'm going to start working and traveling.
So when you dropped out, what was going through your mind at that point? And did your parents know?
Yeah, at the end of February when I dropped out, they did know because I did tell them. So like, because I was staying at their house, so I had to like give a reason for why I'm not going to college anymore. Yeah. And I just like, so my dad's asked me to like give an entire business plan of what I would do because like I want things to be very systematic and organized, which is completely to the opposite of how I do things.
Yeah.
But I managed to just find a way to like, because I kind of did things in such a way which made them understand that I was going to do this with or without their support, because I was willing to do that. Like I was willing to go out on the street if I had to and do this on my own with or without their support. So they didn't support it, but they knew that they couldn't argue with it either, because I would not, like I wasn't going back to college basically. And then I just spent, like I thought I would get into content writing, but then I just like during that entire month, I like started my first blog, which is Think, Travel, Lift, Grow, which is now my, which is now on my new site. But I started that travel blog and I also started, like I just learned how to build basic WordPress websites.
So and, two questions. Yeah. First of all, were you scared when you got started kind of just diving into things? And then second of all, I think it will be really interesting to kind of dive into kind of how you were saying, like you keep referring to, you Googled a lot of things, and I think you were very creative in how you made this happen for yourself and you approached it in a very non-traditional way, even for a non-traditional lifestyle. You approached it in a non-traditional way, really just figuring it out as you went. Did you have any sort of fears coming up? Because you sort of dove into it. You dropped out of college and you're like, all right, I'm going to make this happen. What was going through your head at that time?
I kind of looked at things, I don't know, maybe I'm just crazy, but I always ask myself, what's the worst thing that can happen? And in this case, the worst thing that can happen is I go back to college. Like that's literally the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah.
So it's not that scary.
Like, I love that.
Let's say you quit your job. The worst thing that can happen, if you're good at what you do, is that you get a job where maybe you're making 10% less.
Yeah.
So like the worst thing that can happen in your mind is usually so much worse than in actual reality. So
I love that.
Yeah, just like my analysis of fear has always been like, okay, I always try to think what's the worst thing that can happen. And I just taking a step back, but I used to read all these blogs with all of the travel bloggers and everyone. And like one thing is, like, there are not a lot of Indians and not a lot of people who look like me in that sphere. And it kind of took me back to fitness, because when I got into fitness, I went from being like this super, a little chubby guy to, at one point in time, I had an 8-pack, like an 8-pack abs. And I remember when that started happening, a lot of people, you should say that you can't get that, or like it takes, like you can only do that if you take steroids or shit like that. Like people kept on giving excuses, or people, or like in my family, people used to say that, like my mom used to say that obesity runs in my family. So just stuff like that, where I kept on hearing excuses when it came to fitness. And I literally had the same thing when it came to like whatever I decided to like travel and make money online. People just kept on giving me excuses of, oh, people like us can do that, or you need to be from a, you need to be lucky, born into the right family, blah, 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 just shitty things, which I just didn't, like, I just didn't believe them. And because I was, I just stopped listening to people's excuses.
Amazing.
And that's the biggest thing.
And so was it because of the books you were reading and, you know, it seems like going on your own journey, because that mindset shift is quite hard. A lot of people have a lot of fears and blocks and barriers. So what advice would you give for people that are facing that resistance? Is it because of the books you're reading and the content you were consuming? Like, I know you probably, the, as you were saying, you know, the working out and all of that gave you more confidence. So maybe you can speak on that a bit.
Yeah, I did read a lot of books in that point of time, so that definitely played a role.
Yeah.
And another thing that did put things into perspective for me was a year before all of this happened, my best friend and my grandmother passed away that year. So that's another thing that put things into perspective, that like when it comes to fear, like people talk about like getting humiliated or stuff like that, but that's not that big of a fear as dying, for example, like, because that's a, like, so being afraid of, okay, I have to go back to college and the embarrassment of going to college is not that bad compared to losing your best friend.
Wow.
So that brings into perspective for me at that point of my life.
Amazing. Wow. I think it's really interesting. I think you approach this whole thing, and that's the biggest thing, is your perspective and how you see things. Most people see it as, oh, this is scary, what if I fail? And you see it as, okay, this is, you know, you're comparing it to death, where other people are comparing it to like, oh, what if this doesn't work, right? So how did you, I remember when we interviewed before, you were talking about how you started. When you started, you didn't start with like a lot in the bank, and you really just figured it out as you went. Maybe you can walk us through that first little bit of getting started with working online.
Yeah, so I was like, a part of it started offline, because like I did the Unscalable. So I was in Nepal. I left Goa with about $200 in my bank account, and I ended up in Nepal, and I was staying in a hostel when a guy asked me whether, and I made a couple of friends, and some asked me whether I could build them a photography portfolio site, because I'd seen my website and I liked it, and they asked me if I could build a photography portfolio site, and I managed to do that over afternoon. And that gave me the idea of, by the time this blog thing starts growing, I can just build a lot of websites. So I ended up building websites for hotels, cafes, hostels, restaurants. Like, there's this city in Nepal called Pokhara, which is like the second largest city. I pretty much built websites for like half the top restaurants and cafes in that area. And that's so how I got started.
When you were doing it, were you getting paid for this, or were you you were getting paid for this? So when you first started,
from the first client, I always made it a point to get paid.
Okay, awesome. And take us on that journey, because then I'm not sure how long it was, but then you ended up also consulting with Founder Magazine, which is huge. So for somebody to get started with, you know, when you started, you had no experience, you're just kind of doing it at random, and then to land a gig, like, how did that happen?
Yeah, so after doing the websites, in just a few months, my blog started, like, I looked at all the traffic sources for, like, websites, Because in building the website, I realized the biggest part that was actually important was the marketing thing. Like cafes or hotels, they don't want websites. They want people to come to their cafes. That's the marketing aspect. Yeah. And then I looked at everything. I was like social, like I saw Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I looked at and everything, and I wasn't really that into that marketing. But then I got attracted to SEO, which is search engine optimization and coming high up on Google specifically. And just because it's more for you put in the time now and gain the benefits later on. Like whatever you work now doesn't give you benefits now, but it's more like 3 months down the line, which is close to like working out. Like you don't get the benefits immediately, which is kind of maybe why I liked it. And then I started doing that for my blog. Like, and that's how I grew my blog to, I think it was a full-time income by the sixth month of my blog. So for like some parts of Southeast Asia, so I stopped building websites and I was just living off the blog. And then I got better at SEO, grew the blog even more. And then I like very deep dive.
Can I pause there for a sec? Can we also talk about, so you said you were earning a full time with the blog. How were you making money? A lot of people listening have no idea what it means to make money. So how exactly were you making money from the blog?
So going back to the blog was when I just started the blog before I left Goa. In my first week of starting it, I made 82 cents with AdSense. And I still have that screenshot because I think it's 82 or 80, something like that. And I never actually used ads, but that 82 cents, which was in the account, kind of like validated the idea that yes, you can make money blogging. And then later on, I decided not to use ads because kind of ads cater to, like you need a lot of people on your site to make money from ads. And it wasn't a thing I wanted to go down. Like I didn't want to produce a lot of content. I would rather produce specific content. So then I ended up going down the path of affiliate marketing, which is, for example, let's say I'm talking about my backpack. Let's say I write a review of my backpack, I'll link to my backpack on Amazon. And if somebody buys the backpack through my link, percent of the price, but the person buying it doesn't pay extra. So whatever I earn is from Amazon's cut. So it's kind of like a win-win for everybody. And in many cases, a lot of the products, you get a discount if you actually go to blogs instead of going directly. So it's like a win-win-win.
And do you have two questions? Do you have any advice for somebody that's wanting to get started with a blog? And how often were you blogging to get to that point? Were you like, what was your traffic like? How much were you blogging to get to that point where you were earning an income?
So to get started, I would say so many people get stuck on the process before starting. Like they don't even start the blog because they feel like they need to know everything. And like I say, like just get started and Google all the things you need to learn when you actually come up to the problems. Like you don't need to know everything beforehand. Learn things when you actually need that information. And I believed in something called the Pareto principle. I followed something called the Pareto principle, which is also known as the 80-20 rule. And I would only do, and I look at content the same way. Like 20% of the content tends to generate 80% of the revenue. So I've always focused on like trying to write those 20% posts. So even now on my blog, I think I have I have 120 blog posts, which is a lot. But at the time when my blog was a full-time income, I think it was 50 or less blog posts, a lot. But I did, I used to go way in depth, like the minimum for blog post might have been 1,500 words. So it wasn't like short blog post. It was like, okay, if I'm going to write about a topic, let it be the best post I can on this topic. That's how I kind of looked at content production.
Amazing. And so what was so it's almost as though you were doing quality over quantity to get that.
Definitely.
Amazing.
So one way I looked at it was, let's say you run advertising, many people on average with ads will make maybe, like, let's look at it from a monetary perspective. If you're looking, like, if you're building a blog just for money, if you're using advertising, you'll make about $2 per thousand views, which is not a lot. You need a lot of views to make any significant money. I always looked at a CPM of anything below 50 is bad. Like, you need to make at least $50 per thousand views. And that was like a minimum of what I set out if I'm writing just for, like, just for money in that way.
Okay.
But like, also I write for fun. So it's kind of like, I said, kind of separate things in that way.
And so you, for your affiliates, just for everyone listening, you use Amazon primarily?
Yeah, Amazon's primary, but I also work with a lot of, like, with companies specifically. Like, I travel with a Nomadic travel bag. So that company, I work with a company directly, and also other WordPress products and stuff like that.
Okay.
But Amazon at that point of time used to be like it's like the easiest to get started. That's why.
Amazing. Okay, awesome. So we dove into the blog and getting started. And I think that helps give a lot of the listeners more context to how you actually make money online. It's always, I remember seeing these bloggers thinking, how on earth do they actually make money? Yeah. So you got started with the blog, you were doing this work for cafes, essentially every cafe, it seemed like, in that one city. And then how did the whole founder thing come to be?
So I got into SEO consulting and I landed my first gig through referral to a friend of mine. And it was a site called Botlist, which is kind of like the app store for bots. And that site we did, I did such a good job that when they shared the results of a couple of months in the Facebook group, and Nathan Chan, the CEO founder, was in that Facebook group, and he reached out to me to work on a small project. So we were supposed to move, founder was going to like a domain chain. So we worked on a small project. So I came in as an outside consultant, but at the end of that project, I kind of went on as like the head of SEO at founder full time. And so that was just incredible. And I took my skill to like the next level, because we grew founder a lot. Like the traffic really grew a lot during my time there. And it's just so cool to like work with such great people, because like the team at founder is like, just very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun. And it was just by like networking and actually producing results. Like that would be the two things that I would say were the biggest drivers, like delivering on what you promise and also just networking.
I think that's a great point, and I was just jotting that down. I think what I'm recognizing is at the beginning, you noticed a need. Somebody needed a website, so you built them a website. So it was all about finding somebody that has a need and servicing that need. And then, as you said, with this, with your first client, it was referral. So networking and having clients refer. What I also thought was interesting is you said you took your skills to the next level when working with founder. And I think oftentimes people think they have to have these master skill sets and be certified in everything to bring on a client, when really you can sort of learn as you go and you just need to be a step ahead of the client. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, like you don't need to be the best. So one of the things, so I'm working on a blog post, which I can share later, called you don't need to be in the 1% at a particular skill to be in the 1%. So it's more in the idea that I look at things, like let's say blogging, for example. If you're in the 10% at three particular things in blogging, you can be in the 1% of bloggers. Like if you're in the top 10% of writers, top 10% of SEOs, and top 10% of networkers, for example, it's much easier to be in the top 1% of bloggers versus somebody who is just in the top 1% of writers. Because many people think they need to be like the best at a particular skill to succeed, versus like many times if you combine different skills, you can actually be better overall at the thing that you want to get results in. And it's much easier to go from not being good at a skill to be in the top 10% of the skill than it is to go to be in the top 1%. Because that gap between being like good at a skill to being way great at a skill is big. Like that gap is way big. But the gap being from all right to good isn't that big. But and did you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. It is a little confusing. Similarly, at Founder, I realized that I could learn on the job. I could like really put in my time, look at what works. And I was very good at what I did. Because I remember when I, like in just 6 months of blogging, I got my first travel blog on the first page of Google for how to make money traveling. And I'd done that in like less than 6 months of blogging. So I knew that I was very good. I may not have been in the 0.1% at what I do, but I was very good. And then I could combine that with other skills I had, like maybe I was very good to work with. Maybe I was very friendly. Those things matter more because then you can communicate easier with your client versus somebody who's just very good at what they do, but is a very shitty communicator. That actually will produce worse results for the client.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. What would you say for the listeners listening? Because I would say that the skill set for working remotely is quite different from working traditional job. What would you say are some of the really important skills that somebody should focus on when trying to land remote work?
Understanding what your client actually wants. Like if you let's say your client is focusing on like certain metrics, and that may be just a way for your client to judge you. But if you can deliver something above and beyond that, and if that's what your client actually wants, nothing else matters. Like your client may say, okay, I want you to work 10 hours this week. So you can grow the traffic by 5%, for example. But Let's say you work 5 hours, but the traffic grows by 10%. Your client doesn't give a shit that you didn't work 10 hours because they got what they actually want.
I love that. I think that's the huge difference between a traditional role and working remotely is that working remotely, it's not about face time, it's about results. And If you can get the same results in less time, a lot of remote companies don't care how you get it done, Where you get it done, as long as you can get results, it's all they really care about.
Exactly. And that's why I always do recommend a lot of people like go into something which is like it scales exponentially. Like where you can get exponential results versus not just linear results. As a writer, like the maximum you can do is maybe you're working by the hour or by number of words, maybe you can work a few more hours or write a little bit more. But let's say you work as a high converting copywriter who produces on focusing on writing like SaaS sales copy for SaaS companies, and you maybe write just like 1,000 words that you charge of more than a couple thousand bucks for. Why? How can you charge that much? Because you drive sales.
So, so focusing on the result.
Down and on the right clients and giving them exactly what they need instead of just being another writer.
I love that. I love that idea because I think when a lot of people start working online, they think because they're so desperate sometimes, they charge so little, but it's about getting creative. So instead of saying, I charge this much per hour, looking at it as, okay, I can get you these results and then you can charge a premium for that. And it's about the output focus versus how many hours you worked.
Exactly. Because if you make your client another $100,000, your client has no problem paying you $10,000. That's an example.
Absolutely. Amazing. So we talked about your journey getting started, working with Founder. Where are you at with everything now? I know you're doing your blog full time.
Yeah, so I actually went through kind of a transition recently. So I just came off from 2 months completely off the internet, which is a little weird to say considering like my entire job is on the internet.
Yeah.
So I just spent the past 2 months off the internet traveling in India, and I did a silent meditation retreat, a Vipassana retreat, which is 10 days of 10 hours of meditation every day and you don't talk for 10 days, which was very intense to say the least.
Yeah.
But for a long time, like I've been somebody who spends a lot of time offline. Like I don't like being connected a lot, which is why I'm no longer on social media. So I quit I deleted my Twitter and Instagram accounts, and I'm barely using Facebook anymore. And I just like spending a lot of time reading books and walking in nature, which is like a lot of people want, like everyone has the things that they like. And for me, just spending time relaxing, reading good books and learning the subjects that I like, and hiking, climbing mountains and those kinds of things. Like those tend to be the things that actually excite me. And working at Founder was like one of the best things I've ever done in my life, because it was like the best, honestly, the best job I've ever had. But I wanted to spend more time writing about the topics that interest me. So like now I'm started writing about everything from why I don't use social media to psychedelics to working online. So basically, jeremynerna.com is just me just writing about whatever I feel like. Amazing. And that's what I'm going to do going forward.
I think it's really interesting because I had somebody ask me the other day, if I want to start working online, does that mean I have to be on social media? This person didn't want to have to have this whole brand and be on social media all the time. And I think it's amazing because you're earning an income remotely online, but you're not overconsumed with social media. Can you talk about your decision of why you left that? Because social media is an interesting topic, whether you know it can be all-consuming or it can be used as a tool, and sometimes it becomes mostly all-consuming. Yeah. Maybe you can talk about that a bit.
Like, it is a double-edged sword, because like working at Founder, I think on Instagram we had Founder has 1.5 million followers. So like Instagram as a platform is like, it is very profitable. As a business, to be there, it's very profitable. But it's not a necessity, because if you read any blogs about how to become a blogger, how to become a digital nomad or whatever, how to be an influencer, people like say, okay, you have to spend 1 hour working on this every day. And that just seems insane to me, because I'll rather work on something that will give me more benefits in the longer term versus in the shorter term. And with social media, especially Instagram, the more you work on your social media platforms, the more time you actually have to spend on it. Because let's say you get way big on Instagram, then you actually have to put in more work on Instagram. However, if my blog gets way big on Google and I get a lot of people from Google, I don't need to really write a lot more, because like I already have a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
So it's kind of looking at things for the shorter term versus the longer term. And I do see the benefits with social media. Like I actually landed Founder because of social media, because of that Facebook group. But I realized that I did a cost basis analysis for my life, and the mental unload I have not having to deal with social media is such a relief, especially Instagram, because in the travel sphere, Instagram's gone to such a distorted place where, like, take my life. People will look at my story and will want to follow my life because it may seem like a reality TV show. But if I actually documented my life for how it is and not how people want it to be, it would be a lot of coffee shops with books. Like, people don't want to see me reading books. That's boring. People want to see me on the beach or the dramatic pictures of me in the mountaintop. They just want to see that. They don't want to see the boring parts where I'm sitting in cafes reading my book or just like cooking or stuff like that. And that's what Instagram has become, because that's, and I know a lot of travel Instagrammers, and a lot of them spend like hours editing their photos, because those are the only photos that people are hitting like on.
Yeah.
And it was just something I didn't want to be a part of anymore.
Actually, I really love that you're speaking to that, because I think you're speaking to the reality of being a nomad. So many people see it online on Instagram and they think, that's amazing, they're on beaches all day. But the reality is a lot of digital nomads are working full time. So they're in front of their laptop, in front of their computer, at a co-working space, a cafe, and they're just grinding it out. And then, you know, they might hit up the beach after work or on break, and that's what you see on Instagram. Can you speak a little more to, you know, the realities, I suppose, of this digital nomad lifestyle? And for you, what has been the biggest challenge so far and what has been the biggest upside, to speak to those realities of what people can actually expect? So the biggest challenge and then the biggest, I guess, upside.
Yeah, the biggest challenge I would say with like being a digital nomad, I would say, was relationships. So I used to be very lonely, like especially when it came to like community and stuff. I am a little bit of an extrovert, so I'm a little bit of an introvert. Sorry, I got mixed up. So I don't really like big crowds. I have a little bit of social anxiety, so I don't really like big crowds, and I don't really like drinking and parties and those kinds of things. So I always should like avoid them. And that made things even worse, because like you want community, but you don't really want to interact with people, which is like a weird thing. But over time, it's gotten easy. And for the past 1 year, I've been traveling around with my girlfriend. So that's made things very easy, because both of us are extroverts, and I mean, introverts. And we don't really feel like we sometimes feel like meeting people. But I would say at the start, when it was just me, relationships were the hardest part, because most people have to go back to their normal lives, or like you meet a person, it ends up being very good, but then you never see them again. So that does take a toll for many people, the relationship part of it. And the biggest upside, I would say, just the ability, one, to choose your climate. Like you can literally, I grew up in Goa, and Goa is very good during certain part of the year, but for the 4 months from June to September, it just rains, just horrible rain. And being able to choose your climate is such, like, it's just amazing. And maybe for me, the upside of not working in an office isn't very prevalent, because I never actually did work in an office. Like, I kind of skipped that entire part of getting a job and then quitting my job. But so I don't really feel, because even till date, I've never had a job, like I've never worked by the hour, like till date. Because I never, like even if I worked on in a company or something, I always worked on a project, on a project basis. I never really worked by the hour. Yeah. And that really, by not working on the hour, I realized I can focus more on getting better at what I do and getting more done in the time I actually work. Going back to the 80-20 principle, like really improving my productivity to like an extreme level where I work very little, because when I work, I'm doing the things that actually matter.
Right. Actually, that reminds me, when you were talking about removing social media, I think that's a really great point, because so often when people get started, they spread themselves in a million directions. And so your energy is diverted. When you focus on one thing, you can just streamline and get 10 times further ahead. I think that's a great point to mention to everybody, is that instead of trying to do a million things, focus on one thing, get that one thing right. And like you're saying, this whole 80-20 principle. Yeah. Even on my personal blog, The Remote Nomad, same thing. I have like 20% of my blog posts getting 80% of the traffic, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'll add one more point to everybody, for everybody, on the fact of like social media and SEO, and like Google and stuff like that, on spreading your things. I did see a recent study that came out on like the biggest drivers of traffic. And if you're in the top 10 or top 100 websites in the world, you get, like on YouTube, the majority of traffic ends up going to the top 100 and top 1,000 websites. And the same thing goes for Reddit, where the majority of traffic actually goes to the people at the people who are already at the top. While Google right now, right now, is the most democratic when it comes to where the people actually going from the platforms. And like Facebook and Google and Facebook, Instagram and everything are growing, but as drivers to like blogs, they are not that good like traffic sources. Like Instagram is good if you want to be big on Instagram. Instagram isn't that good if you want people to come to your blog from Instagram. If you want people to interact with you more on Instagram, do Instagram. But if you're looking at Instagram as a traffic source for a travel blog, you're in the wrong place.
Amazing. That's good insight. That being said, if somebody if somebody wants to get started, they're listening and they think, okay, maybe I'll get into online marketing, SEO. What are your tips for somebody that's, you know, they're in their 9-to-5 and they're just diving into it. They don't know much. What would you say would be the first steps or first things they should do if they want to get into SEO or marketing?
Set up a test site, like just start a very cheap website, like buy cheap hosting, just buy a cheap domain name and just start a website and try to get it. Like, I'm going to speak specifically to SEO in this case, get it ranking for keywords. Like, do something, see what happens if you do it. Like, basically A-B testing. Try something, see if it works, get a hang of it, play around with the tools, give all the free trials a trial, and just play around with it. Like, do it. Don't read all the blog posts about what changed in SEO in 2019. You don't need to know. You don't know what happened in 2018. Just focus on, like, doing it and getting the hang of it. Like, I learned SEO basically by doing my travel blog. And then I learned, like, I didn't know many of the, like, what, I don't think I knew what a KPI meant for, like, the first year I was into SEO. So, like, just focus on doing the things that actually, like, just do it, get a hang of it. And, like, that's just it. Like, the best way to learn is by doing.
I love that. I think a lot of people take false action. And what I mean by that is they'll over research everything online, but they don't take action. So they, in their mind, they think they are because they're spending all this time researching, but they're not progressing at all. And by taking real action, that's what gives you the progress. I love that you say that. That's exactly, you know, when I started working online, it was through online marketing and I learned everything in online marketing through my personal blog. It was just this test platform. Yeah. I think I got Twitter and Instagram. The only reason I got that was because I thought I should know it for like my job. And so I just played around and then it became a thing. I love that. And just before we wrap up, I'm curious, what would your advice be for somebody? A lot of people listening are in the 9-to-5 and they want to break free and they want to work online and travel the world. What would your advice be for somebody that is wanting to get started?
I would say in general, I would say two main points. Get, like, focus on by doing, get good at a skill and have something to show for it. Like, it can be a website that's ranking for, like, very vague keywords, but at least it's coming on Google, for example. Like, have something to show for it. If you're a designer, have something on Dribbble. If you're a web developer, just build some websites on a test server. Do something, have something to show. And secondly is go to where your clients are, which is many people get caught up on hanging around where their peers are. Like, web developers will hang around web developers. Writers will go to where all the writers are. Indie developers will be on Indie Hackers. Digital nomads will, like, go to, like, Reddit Digital Nomad or, like, Digital Nomads around the world. Like, they'll go to the specific groups. When let's say a person who wants to be a web developer should WordPress developer, for example, should instead be in a group of mommy bloggers, for example, if they are going to become the mommy blogger WordPress developer. Like, go to where your customers are, not to where your peers are, because it's so, like, being in your peer group is very comfortable. Like, you can be on Reddit/freelance where you can complain about how all the clients are charging writers very little and everyone there agrees with what you got to say. But that's not putting you out of your comfort zone. You need to go talk to your actual clients instead of going to where things are comfortable.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that's such a great point. I think that with a lot of landing remote work, it really is about networking and building your network versus applying for remote jobs and getting in the, and it's not just networking, it's networking with the right people, exactly. Like you just said.
Of course.
Yeah. Amazing. Is there anything else that you want to share, whether it's about your story, this lifestyle, before we wrap up?
It's kind of not related, but a little bit is I would, like, with a lot of the ideas I share, kind of go in line with a few books, which I would like to recommend. Like, one of the books which is on my mind because I reread it recently is Anti-Fragile by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. Anti-Fragile.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
So right now, that's one of my favorite books. And I read it recently, just like about 2 months ago, which is very interesting because I, like, for the past 3 years, looking back, I realized that I did many of those things. Like, the book managed to put many of the things I did in my life into words. So it just felt very, like, it just validated a lot of things. And I, that's one of my top books right now. So I would recommend that book, Antifragile. And for productivity and freelancing, especially, I would recommend the book So Good They Can't Ignore You by Carl Newport. That's a, like, that book is, like, right now, like, it's a very good book for freelancers to read. Yeah, that's it. That's, I would just recommend people read those two books.
Amazing. I'll link to those. Thank you so much. Yeah. And so what's next for you in terms of travel? You're in Hanoi. Are you going to be in Hanoi for a bit?
No, I'm going to be in Hanoi just for half a week or something. And then I'm heading to Sri Lanka for just to surf for a while. And probably going to be spending the next few months in, like, the Balkans and Eastern Europe. That's kind of the vague plan, but I don't really, I kind of don't plan things. Like, I, like, Hanoi, for example, I booked the flight 2 days before I flew here. So I kind of am very spontaneous in how I actually move around. So it's impossible to know where I'll be.
I love that. I do the same thing. Usually a week before is when I make my decision. And that's the beautiful part of this lifestyle, is that you don't have to plan. It's sort of whenever you feel like you're done with the place, that's when you can move on. Amazing. And can you share with the audience how everybody can follow along with your journey? Because it's not on social media.
Well, right now my Facebook is online, but I'm not on Facebook, but all of my blog posts automatically get shared on Facebook. Okay. So facebook.com/JeremyNerna, you won't get any replies to messages, but you will get automatically shares from my blog post. And you can just go to JeremyNerna.com or just Google Jeremy Nerna and you'll find my writing. Basically.
Amazing. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here today. Your story is so inspiring. And I think that you gave a lot of good practical advice for people that want to get started working online, doing SEO. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was very fun.
Thanks for tuning into the Wi-Fi Nomads podcast, showing you how to successfully go remote. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to hit subscribe and leave a review. And if you haven't already, head over to wifinomads.com. That's W-I-F-L-Y nomads, N-O-M-A-D-S.com, where you can learn more about how you can get started working remotely from anywhere in the world by joining one of our upcoming programs. Remember, spots are limited, so be sure to apply soon. Until next time, everyone, safe travels.